Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And we can easily see that this is true, the power of the tongue. In many cases in which life and death hang upon what is said, judgments made or spoken, and depending on the word handed down, people live or die. Judges are certainly in that category, kings, dictators, because there's a lot more dictators nowadays than there are kings. Whatever they say goes, and sometimes they say death or life. People on a jury, I was very impressed one time when I was involved in just as a witness in a case against somebody that I knew very well, and it hit me pretty hard to look at the jurors and realize that this man's life hangs on what they decide. He wouldn't have been killed, but his life would have been ruined if they had decided against him. Even criminal bosses, anyone who has the influence to say the word, or if any of those spoke life for somebody, they would be protected because of the authority of their word on it. It's also true in cases that aren't so apparent, so evident. A senator or representative in Congress in our country can say aye or nay, and the consequences of that vote can result in the death of thousands, if not millions of people. Not only voting for war or involvement in war, but decisions, foolish or otherwise, can result in much death. Voting to legalize the killing of babies. It's not a time to mince words, is it? Now, there are those who love that power and those who don't. God gives that authority to some that don't love it. They respect it. They're in awe of what God does and who He uses to do that. They don't love the fact that they have that power. We see that in natural things too. A general in the army, somebody who makes a decision based on strategy and the facts of the situation in the army or the armed forces, they may give an order that results in many casualties, but take no pleasure at all in that. His decision, his order, grave consequences, but he don't love it. But of course also there are power crazy fools in this world, many everywhere, that very much take pleasure in the havoc that they cause. If you love it, our scripture says, if you love that power, if you delight in the power itself, that is given you by God, then you'll reap what you sow. It says you'll eat the fruit of it. So that's fruit results in sowing. So you will reap, according to the Lord, you will reap what you sow if you delight in that power. If you sow death with your words, again, so many ways to do that, not so obvious ones. Then you'll reap that. If life, then that's the other side of it. Some people, with whatever authority they have, they want to do good by the grace of God. They want that to result in the betterment and improvement of life or the saving of life. And never is all of this any more true than in spiritual things, in the power of the tongue. Is death and life, and God has ordained it so that words are the manner in which He bestows life on dead sinners. In Ezekiel 16:6, the Lord, speaking of that baby in a field, He says, "When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee." This is significant because the Lord passes by. This is an allegory. This is a picture. And the Lord passes by this dead baby covered in blood. And all He had to do was will it. All He had to do was pass by, but He spoke. That teaches us something. "I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee." He repeats it. "When thou wast in thy blood, live." And of course, that's a picture of the gospel and how God gives life to dead sinners. It's the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit that God gives to give life and faith in His Son. John 6:66, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him when He taught them of His sovereignty in saving sinners. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?" And this is so interesting. I want to preach again on this sometimes, because I believe the Lord has given some light on this. When He says, "Will you also go away?" That's interesting, isn't it? He didn't say thank you for not going away. When God gives faith and commitment in Him, He tests it, doesn't He? He tests it. And this wasn't a strong test of that, but it's a principle that we see in this. Will you also go away? You got other things to do, other places to be? Are you offended by the fact that unless my Father brings you to me, you're not coming to me? Does that offend you? Will you leave too? He tests it. He forces them to either commit or walk away. And then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" The Lord gave him a good answer, didn't He? "We're shut up to you." In other words, that's what it means to be shut up to Christ, to have nowhere else to go, no other hope. Spend all we have, and worse. But here's His reasoning in that. "You have the words of eternal life." Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's where God has put it. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Remember, you'll remember when Paul said this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, the preaching, the tongue, telling forth the glories of Christ, telling sinners how they can be saved by looking to Him who successfully redeemed sinners on Calvary, by looking to Him who is the very righteousness of God in which a sinner can stand accepted in His sight. By that means, by the tongue, the power of God goes forth to save. That's our text. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And I started early in this text to show what's happening here. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, to preach His gospel, Paul called it my gospel at times, but my gospel has got to be His gospel. It can't just be what I think about it or my opinions on it or the deductions that I've come to based upon it. My gospel is Christ's gospel. And we're talking about preaching. And a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, he's talking about preaching the gospel. So I went to Macedonia. For what reason? To preach the gospel. To preach Christ's gospel. And then he says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not in ourselves. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. That's by the preaching of His gospel. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So there's three characters in this story. There's God, well, four. God, His Son, those that perish, and those that don't perish. We're a sweet savor of Christ to God every time, no matter what happens. Because it's God's will happening, whether sinners live or whether they die. It's God's good purpose being played out. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ if we preach Christ's gospel. In them that are saved and in them that perish. Now, here's the other two characters, though. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. Still a sweet savor of Christ unto God, but to some, to many, it's the savor of death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And look at Paul's reaction. He didn't delight in the fact that God made him instrumental. He didn't go around thinking, look how powerful I am. I can make sinners live or die. No, he said, I'm not sufficient for this. God's using me anyway. But I'm not even sufficient for this. Who is? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. God has ordained it so that life and death are in the power of the tongue. In the greatest sense of those words, life and death. Paul's response to that, again, was not to delight in the fact that he had such power, or that such a weighty thing was laid upon him. His response was, I'm not enough. It's okay, though, because it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And we're not indifferent about that. We don't preach either with the attitude that, you know, here's the gospel, you know, take it or leave it. Either way is fine, no? We beseech you. We beseech you, be you reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. Of course, there are those who claim to speak for God who speak nothing but death. Nothing but death. And it's a terrible... It weighs on the heart of a believer, I think, to hear it. And I want to read you something that I saw this week that just weighed heavily on my heart just to hear this. This is the way... This is the way this religious world, much of it, reasons. Listen to this statement. Repentance washes you free of sin. Repentance is something that we do. God doesn't repent. That's plainly stated. He is the Lord. He's not like us that he should repent. That's something we do. Repentance washes you free from sin. And listen to the reasoning. Believe it or not, which is an interesting way to proceed with that, believe it or not, when you repent, you take on the burden of your own sin. You don't want to do that. You don't want to take upon yourself the burden of your sin. It will sweep you into hell. And it transforms, let me read it, I keep stopping, so let me read it from the beginning again. Repentance washes you free of sin. Believe it or not, when you repent, you take on the burden of your own sin, and it transforms into merit. Where's chapter and verse? Where's the word of God in that? And he said, this is according to Talmudic reasoning. That's according to Talmudic reasoning. Jewish religion. When you repent, you're taking on the burden of your own sin and it transforms into merit. Because you do that, because you're sorry that you did some bad stuff, God counts you righteous in his sight. That's just depressing, isn't it? It's depressing. That's death. Every phrase of that is death for a sinner. In the power of the tongue that teaches thousands of people, millions of people, entire country, that horrible falsehood, in the power of their tongue, by God's design, is spiritual death. People are going to die and go to hell because somebody's teaching that nonsense. Of course, it's not unchecked death. God ultimately controls and determines who lives and who dies spiritually. But woe unto that man, don't you think? Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, because that's what that is. That's a betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ is what that is. His blood washes you free of sin. And he took on himself the burden of our sins. And all the merit was his. His righteousness is perfect. His sin offering is satisfactory. According to the Word of God, not our reasoning, not anybody's reasoning, according to what God said, we're righteous in the sight of God by His blood, by His righteousness. That's life. The tongue that speaks the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God and the salvation. The tongue that speaks that power, the authority and the ability of God to save, speaks life. The tongue that speaks of the successful Almighty Savior and His sufficient, satisfactory atonement speaks life. That's the way God's ordained it. That's life to say that. The tongue that speaks of the Son of God being all of the sinner's righteousness and all of the sinner's sin offering and all of the sinner's acceptance with God speaks life to dead sinners. And may God keep the door of our lips and make it so of us. Colossians 4:3, with all praying also for us, pray for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak the mystery plainly. Isn't that a beautiful play on words? To speak the mystery of Christ, but to speak it in such a way that it's evident, manifest, as I ought to. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace. He's not saying just say nice words. He's talking about let your speech be according to the grace of God in Christ. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. May God make it so.